ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 13, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Atho Mahabhaga Bhavana Moghadrik Shuchi Shrava Satya Rato Drita Vrataha Urakramasya Kilabandha Muktaye Samadhina Samadhina Nusmara Tadvicheshtitam. O Vyasadeva, your vision is completely perfect. Your good fame is spotless. You are firm in vow and situated in truthfulness. And thus, you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage. Purport. People in general have a taste for literatures by instinct. They want to hear and read from the authorities something about the unknown, but their taste is exploited by unfortunate literatures which are full of subject matter for satisfaction of the material senses. Such literatures contain different kinds of mundane poems and philosophical speculations, more or less under the influence of Maya, ending in sense gratification. These literatures, although worthless in the true sense of the term, are variously decorated to attract the attention of the less intelligent men. Thus, the attracted living entities are more and more entangled in material bondage, without hope of liberation for thousands and thousands of generations. Sri Narad Rishi, being the best among the Vaishnavas, is compassionate towards such unfortunate victims of worthless literatures, and thus he advises Sri Vyasadeva to compose transcendental literature which is not only attractive, but can also actually bring liberation from all kinds of bondage. Srila Vyasadeva or his representatives are qualified because they are rightly trained to see things in true perspective. Srila Vyasadeva and his representatives are pure in thought due to their spiritual enlightenment, fixed in their vows due to their devotional service, and determined to deliver the fallen souls rotting in material activities. The fallen souls are very eager to receive novel informations every day, and the transcendentalists like Vyasadeva or Narad can supply such eager people in general with unlimited news from the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that the material world is only a part of the whole creation and that this earth is only a fragment of the whole material world. There are thousands and thousands of literary men all over the world, and they have created many, many thousands of literary works for the information of the people in general for thousands and thousands of years. Unfortunately, none of them have brought peace and tranquility on the earth. This is due to a spiritual vacuum in those literatures. Therefore, the Vedic literatures, especially the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, are specifically recommended to suffering humanity to bring about the desired effect of liberation from the pangs of material civilization, which is eating the vital part of human energy. The Bhagavad Gita is the spoken message of the Lord Himself recorded by Vyasadeva, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental narration of the activities of the same Lord Krishna, which alone can satisfy the hankering desires of the living being for eternal peace and liberation from miseries. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is meant for all the living beings all over the universe for total liberation from all kinds of material bondage. Such transcendental narrations of the pastimes of the Lord can be described only by liberated souls like Vyasadeva and his bona fide representatives who are completely merged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Only to such devotees to the pastimes of the Lord and their transcendental nature become automatically manifest by dint of devotional service. No one else can either know or describe the acts of the Lord, even if they speculate on the subject for many, many years. The descriptions of the Bhagavatam are so precise and accurate that whatever has been predicted in this great literature about 5,000 years ago is now exactly happening. Therefore, the vision of the author comprehends past, present and future. Such liberated persons as Vyasadeva are perfect not only by the power of vision and wisdom, but also in oral reception, in thinking, feeling and all other sense activities. A liberated person possesses perfect senses, and with perfect senses only can one serve the sense proprietor, Hrishikesh, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the perfect description of the all-perfect personality of Godhead by the all-perfect personality, Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedas. This is a transcendental summit meeting between Narad Muni and Vyasadeva. Summit meeting, it's when the big politicians come together and discuss so many important matters, just like His Grace Bill Clinton is supposed to be coming to India at some point this year to meet with Atal Bihari Vajpayee, if the latter is still in his seat, or if the former is still in his seat also. And they will discuss important matters such as trade agreements and nuclear weapons proliferation and so many important big people discuss big things. Important people discuss important things. So here Narad Muni and Vyasadeva, they are important people. They're discussing important things. They're not important people in the sense of Bill Clinton, who's just like a fly. You see flying in the room, out the room. So he's on the stage of world affairs, he's very important. But this is just for a few seconds he'll be considering himself, I'm very important. But he'll be gone. And in the course of time, forgotten completely. Just like we see here at BITS, we see so many people with a tremendous sense of self-importance, thinking, I'm very important. I'm a student or a professor at BITS. Oh, I'm so intelligent. I'm so overwhelmingly important. But they're not. It's just an illusion. Actually important people are those who spread the message of Krishna, who are devotees of Krishna. Here we see Narad Muni is describing Vyasadeva, praising him in so many ways. Mahabhaga, you are very fortunate. Amogadrik, you can see perfectly. Shuchi Shrava, your fame is spotless. You see, Bill Clinton is also famous, but not, his character is definitely not spotless, and that is for sure. Satyarata, he's taken the vow of truthfulness. Dhritavrata, fixed in spiritual activities. So, therefore, you are the correct person to describe the pastimes of the Lord. This Narad Muni is convincing Vyasadeva that you should describe the pastimes of the Lord. You are Vyas. Vyas means who divides the Vedas, categorizes it so that less intelligent people can understand, just like you are studying science and technology. So, the subject matter is presented to you in a systematic way, broken down part by part so that you can understand it. But when you've understood it, then it's not necessary to present it in such a formal, broken-down way. Just like you have to do some calculus. Presumably, you're all doing engineering, is it? You all have to do so many calculus operations, isn't it? Is it? Isn't it? I'm well out of touch with these things. So you just see it and you do it. But when you're first introduced to calculus in high school, then it says you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do this. And when you're familiar with it, then you just do it. When you're not, it has to be broken down. You do this and that and this and that, and then you solve it. So in the same way, the Vedas, they're originally just handed down by oral tradition. And they're remembered, they're heard and remembered, Shruti, Smriti. And in this way, the knowledge comes down. But just like if you show a calculus operation to a layman like me, who completely forgot what to do with them nowadays, after so many years of not doing, and if I'm to at all understand what is the calculus operation, you have to say, first you do this, then you do this, then you do this, and then this, the problem is solved. So in the same way, people in Kali Yuga, they're less intelligent, therefore the Vedas, they have to be divided and set out in a systematic way so that people can understand it. So that's the job of Vyasadeva. Vyas means who divides. So he's divided the Vedic knowledge and broken it up and presented it in a systematic way so that everyone can understand. Now, the whole purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. Vedaisya sarva aham eva vedaha. That is stated by Lord Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita. And Vyasadeva himself, even prior to compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam, had stated at the end of Mahabharata, he's given the verse, Vedai Ramayana Chaiva Purani Bharate. Vedai Ramayana Chaiva Purani Bharate Sama. Adavante cha madhye cha hari sarvatra giyate. In all the Vedas, Puranas, Mahabharata, in the Ramayana, in all the Vedic literatures, simply from the beginning to the middle to the end. Hari Sarvatra Giyate is simply meant for glorifying Hari. But we see here that Narad Rishi is telling Vyasadeva that you haven't done that properly. You've done it, no doubt, throughout the Vedic literatures there is glorification of Hari. And even those parts of the Vedic literatures which appear to be in glorification of other demigods, that's also meant for glorification of Hari. And those who are less intelligent, they won't understand that. So you've done that, but you have not composed a literature which is specifically for the glorification of Hari, and specifically for the glorification of Hari Bhakti. Vishuddha Hari Bhakti, spotless devotion to Lord Krishna, without which the whole purpose of being Vyasadeva is not fulfilled. What's the use of, you see, you show someone how to do a calculus operation, you show all the different stages, and the final stage you don't show, so they're left with it unsolved. So even though they become expert in calculus, but they don't know how to... Or you teach someone how to do calculus, but then what's the practical application? Simply you're learning pure maths and you become expert in pure maths, but what's the practical application? It's not there, so it's useless for all practical purposes. So in the same way, someone may become an expert Vedic scholar, but if they don't come to the point of surrendering to Krishna, then it's all useless. That's already stated in the Hari Bhakta Sudatai. What is that verse said? Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastra Chapastapa Apranasya Eva Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. That without devotion to Krishna, then even if you're expert in chanting Vedic mantras, even if you've studied all the Vedic literatures, even if you perform so many austerities, whatever else you may do, then it is simply like the decoration of a dead body. It looks good, but it's horrible. It's useless. If you see a dead body decorated, you may, from a distance, you may think, oh, it looks very nice. Someone's decorated very nice, and then you go closer, you see a dead body. Ugh. So without devotion to Krishna, you may be a big scholar, you may be very learned, intelligent, wise, and so many things. But it's all not only useless, but disgusting. So Vyasadeva has not, up to this point, compiled a literature in which only Hari is glorified, and which only pure devotional service to Him is glorified. Therefore, Narad Rishi, first of all, he chastised Vyasadeva a bit. That jugupshitam, he uses the word. This is abominable. You have encouraged people in fruitive activities in the name of the Vedic process of advancement according to the Vedic culture. But you didn't teach them to glorify Krishna. So, what's that? You'll see, they're simply, by following the Vedic literature, they'll become Vedaravadarata. But they'll become attached to the Vedic message. But unless you bring them to the actual point, what is the actual use? So now he's praising Vyasadeva. You should compile the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the proper literature. You are the proper person to do this, of course. That's why he's Vyasadeva. He got that post. Vyas. There is a Vyas at the end of every Dwarpa Yuga who divides the Vedas and prepares it for the people of Kali Yuga. So this is Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas. His particular name is Krishna Dwaipayana. Dwaipayana means he was born on a dvip. He was born on an island. He was the son of Parashara. You know the story. And he's called Krishna because his bodily features are blackish. So he's this. There are so many different Vyasas. In future Ashvatthama, he will also become a Vyas. Even though he was so bad, maybe the worst person on the whole of the Kurukshetra battlefield. I think worse than even Duryodhana or Shakuni. But now he's in the Himalayas performing tapasya, and at the proper time he'll come out and become Vyas at the end of the next Dwarpa Yuga. He has to wait for one yoga cycle. So this is Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. He is meant for dividing the Vedas, and he is qualified for that. Obviously he's taken birth in this position because he's qualified to do this job. So Narad Muni is now reminding him that you do this. You should do this. You have to do this. Narad is his guru, even though Vyas is... Every we worship the guru as a representative of Vyas because he's given the literatures. Guru means he teaches according to what Vyas teaches. Vyasa Purnima, Guru Purnima. The guru is worshipped on the day of Vyasadeva's appearance, because the guru is supposed to represent Vyas. So Vyas is the guru of everybody, but he also has a guru, because he has to teach by example. Guru means, Acharya means he teaches according to his own acharan. So Vyasadeva is telling everyone, in his scriptures he's telling everyone you have to accept a guru. So he's also accepting guru. And he's appearing to be bewildered, not to know what the purpose of life is, so that he can be properly directed by Narad Muni. So Vyasadeva's particular job is to write these literatures, Vedic literatures. In this purport, Prabhupada has distinguished between Vedic literatures and nonsense literatures. People in Prabhupada writes here, people in general have a taste for literatures by instinct. It's interesting, he says by instinct. It means like inborn propensity. I was reading some time ago in this New Yorker magazine, maybe you know, it's a prestigious magazine among the elite and intellectuals in New York. So someone there was describing that reading seems to him to be an instinct almost as basic as eating and sex. So he, for an intellectual, yes, he needs some food for his mind. He wants always to read something. You see, there's so many libraries, huge libraries. Although so many books are being written. Some thousands and thousands of books are being written, only in English language. We have to speak of other languages every year. So many books are being written, not all are published, but even published. There are thousands and thousands of books, fiction, non-fiction. Libraries are becoming more and more full. Now we have the internet, so there's so much information. Even all the new information that comes on the internet every day, I think 100 people, if they read 24 hours a day, couldn't keep up with it. So much information coming out. But this is not Veda. Veda means knowledge, Vidya. Here we have the Saraswati temple. I was just visiting Saraswati temple. When Saraswati is worshipped, she is the goddess of learning. But goddess of learning doesn't mean this technology and science. Previously people worshipped Saraswati to get Vidya. What is that? Actual knowledge means to discriminate between spirit and matter. But here, in the name of Vidya, they're teaching simply how to become entangled in material life. So that is not Vidya. Shri Vidya Avidya Jani, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a song. Vidya Bilashi Katainu Kal. I simply spend so much time in the pastimes of scholarship, so-called scholarship. But now he says, now I realize that so-called knowledge is not knowledge. It's not actual. There's not considered knowledge, it's knowledge. All right, it's knowledge. It's not you can learn. The cow eats grass. That is one kind of knowledge. The sun rises in the east. That is one kind of knowledge. But what is the knowledge that will help us in our ultimate mission of life? That is actual knowledge. And anything else is simply a covering. It fulfills our intellectual propensity. But as Prabhupada writes here, that it doesn't sound a spiritual vacuum. There's a spiritual vacuum in these literatures. You see, people, they read so many books, but they don't feel, it doesn't bring satisfaction to the heart. It may bring some kind of satisfaction to the mind. Just like, if you're hungry, food brings satisfaction to the belly. If you're lusty, then engaging in an act of sex may bring some satisfaction. If you're hot, and to sit under a fan may bring some satisfaction. In the cold season, to come into a warm place, that may give you some sensual satisfaction. But it doesn't satisfy the soul. And even the senses are not satisfied for very long, only for a very short time. So that the sensual satisfaction, it not only does it not bring spiritual satisfaction, but it actually breeds dissatisfaction. The more we engage in sensual satisfaction, the more we become frustrated. Because the real need of the person, the real need of the soul, is not sensual, mental, or even intellectual, but it's spiritual. In the Gita, Krishna describes there are different levels. That there's the senses, the mind, the intelligence, indriyani praniyaho, indriyadhyo parang manasas tu parabuddhi, yobuddhe paratas tu sa. Mind, senses, mind, intelligence, these are different levels. But above that is the level of the soul. So unless we come to the spiritual platform, even if we read, there's so many intellectual endeavors which are fascinating. We find intellectuals, they remain fascinated on the intellectual platform, and they think there's nothing beyond this. That's when they see devotees chanting and singing, they think, this is foolish, this is not intellectual. Or even if we present philosophy, they think, no, this is inferior to our intellectual level. But they don't realize this is actually on a much higher level, not only even intellectually. You may be an Einstein, or you may not be an Einstein. There's only one Einstein a century. So not likely you're going to be that intelligent. But even if you may be that much intellectually developed, but that doesn't mean that you're satisfied. And so you see, here this is supposed to be a place of highly intelligent people. But because they cannot control their senses, they're forced to act like fools and engage in sense gratification. So even though they're intellectually developed, because the intellectual development is not in the, it's simply on the external platform. Therefore they're not satisfied simply with that. Therefore they want to go to discos and so many useless things. Or even if you'll find some people are fully absorbed in the intellectual platform, who's actually a big scientist. They don't engage in gross sense gratification because they're absorbed on a higher platform. But it's not the highest platform. They mistake it to be because they have no knowledge of the highest platform. They remain absorbed on that platform. But their real intelligence is, they think they're very intelligent, but their real intelligence is covered by maya. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudho yam navijanati loko mama janavyam. Krishna says in the Gita that I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. To them I'm covered by the curtain of maya. So anyone who's not Krishna conscious, they're fools, according to Krishna's statement. So you see, the big professors, doesn't seem like they're fools. They can just, they'll have conversations, you can't follow it, because they're talking on such complex subject matters. So how is it that they're foolish? Because they don't know what the actual subject of knowledge is. They're so busy discussing this, that, and the other, the subatomic states, and so many things they may be discussing. But what is the purpose of life? You're going to die. What happens after that? And many times they say, well, nothing happens, everything is finished. But they have no evidence, no proof, nothing. It's just their dogmatic belief. But because they don't even want to think about it, they make such a foolish statement that when the body is finished, everything is finished. And they consider themselves scientists, although they have absolutely no evidence that when the body is finished, everything is finished. So we see that many people, they are materially intelligent, but spiritually foolish, because they don't even ask, they don't even think to ask the right questions. What is this science? Science means to inquire and find out. But they don't even think to ask, why am I suffering? Why is there so much suffering in the world? They think, well, we'll bring a fan, that'll stop the suffering of too much heat. We'll bring a fridge, that will stop the suffering of foods going bad quickly. And we can have nice cold water also. So in this way they're making so many adjustments. And we have a big mill to produce lots of cloth, and then someone can get rich and other people will be out of work. So, but they don't. On one hand they're solving problems, on another they're creating problems, because to get all this you have to have some factory, and you have to extract iron ore, and it's made with plastic, you have to go in the sea, it's very dangerous to extract the oil, and there's so much pollution created, and then you become dependent on the electricity, and when it goes off, you're in a building which is built in it. So mostly they have all these RCC buildings which are horribly hot. So you're solving one set of problems, creating another set at the same time. But what is the most important problem? That you're going to die. That they don't see. They don't even think to ask. So how much foolish are they? How much foolish? And what is the difference between a living body and a dead body? This question. When Prabhupada went to this MIT, not the Manipal Institute of Technology, but Massachusetts, they also call it MIT. Massachusetts Institute. He said, I see there are so many universities in your country, but where is the department for investigating the difference between a living body and a dead body? So he immediately challenged them. Where is it? What is that? You see, they have so many research units investigating how to cure AIDS, how to cure cancer. Actually, we can cure AIDS. There's no problem. We'll give a... ISKCON has the cure. No illicit sex. Yes. And be careful using needles and razors. That's all. Finished. No problem. No more AIDS. But that they won't say. They'll say, have safe sex. They won't say, have no illicit sex. They'll admit it. If you just say that you... sex life is only within marriage for propagation of children, then no AIDS. That they won't say. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. And then material nature gives a reaction. Oh, spend billions of dollars for research. AIDS, how to cure AIDS. So they want to cure AIDS. They want to have cancer research. There's not much anti-malaria research because it only comes in poor countries and you can't get much money from making medicines to stop malaria. But cancer, there's a lot of research. Also cancer, you stop all this pollution and you stop all this, you just live a natural life. Don't smoke cigarettes. Don't eat meat and then you won't get cancer. That's all. But that they can't imagine. Anyway, they have cancer research, AIDS research and so many different diseases. You see, they think we're becoming very advanced in medicine. There are so many diseases. Huge hospitals. I saw in Delhi, the third biggest hospital in the world. In what is it? Indraprastha Hospital or something like that. Huge hospital. If you just walk in there, they'll charge you 10,000 rupees. Just for darshan. And every breath costs 50 rupees. It's so expensive place. So they have all these research. Why is there no research how to stop death? Why are they not researching? Any scientists have any answers? Because they are hopeless. They have no hope. They don't even think. They say, when we preach to people, oh, you have to die. They say, well, that's natural. That's natural. So I'll shoot you now. It's so natural. You should think how to get out of this horrible situation. They don't even think. Therefore, they're materially so-called intelligent, but spiritually fool number one, Buddha, Krishna says. So Vyasadeva has compiled these literatures for those who are actually intelligent, not for fools and even for fools and rascals, so that they can become intelligent. So at least those who are studying in the universities and colleges, they should understand that real intelligence doesn't mean to make some big calculus calculation. That's one kind of intelligence, but that's not the most important intelligence. That can't help you. That's like some tricks. Just like the bird can fly in the sky, it has a material propensity which we don't have. The fish can live in the water, has a material propensity that we don't have. So someone may have the material propensity to fiddle around with calculus and make fantastic calculations. It's a material propensity. So why are you so proud? You can't fly in the sky, the bird can. So in that way the bird is better than you. So why are you so proud? The bird can't do calculus, but you can't fly. So what's so great about you? In so many ways, the bird is better than you. Bird can build a nest. Can you build a nest? Can you do it? You can't do it. Bird lays eggs. You can't do that. So in so many, it's just another material ability, that's all. You may be expert in calculus, but you can't cook a chapati. So the Rajasthani village woman who can't even sign her own name, she does the thumbprint and gets paid 50 rupees at the election for voting for she doesn't know what. She's more expert than you in making chapati. So you're PhD in mathematics and she's PhD in cooking chapatis. So what's so wonderful? It's just another material ability. But spiritual vision, amoghadrik. Spotless vision. Amoga means free from any mundane contamination. That Vyasadeva is God. That Vyasadeva wants to give us by giving these literatures. So these literatures, there's a different kind of literature. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pati shlokam abhadabhatyapi namanyanam tasya yashongitani yash shinranti gayanti gunanti sadhava. That verse comes up here. a little later, that this literature, it's a different kind of creation to mundane literature, which is compared to is pilgrimage place for crows, Narad Muni says. He calls it a pilgrimage place for crows, via Samtirtha. Pilgrimage place for crows. But that which is composed about Krishna, which describes the name, fame, form, qualities and pastimes of Krishna, that is a different kind of creation, which is meant for making a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. So this, Narad Rishi is telling Vyasadeva, you write this, that will be helpful. So far you've written about demigod worship, karma, jnana, yoga, and within the Vedic literature comes also the Ayurveda, Dhanurveda, Shilpa Shastra, so many differences. Now write about pure devotional service to Krishna. That is your real job as Vyasadeva. All of this is only secondary and unimportant in comparison with this. This is the instruction Narad Rishi, his guru, is giving to Vyasadeva. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Vyasadeva has compiled the Bhagavatam out of compassion, but even studying it seems somewhat difficult. Somewhat difficult? In some ways it may be considered difficult. It's not... Srimad Bhagavatam is intellectual work also, philosophical, highest philosophy. So some people may find it difficult, but intellectually, you see, Prabhupada has given these purports which make it so clear. Otherwise this message is not such an easy thing to understand. Prabhupada is in such straightforward English language. Otherwise the purports were previously in Sanskrit. And that also not very easy, the purports to understand. Prabhupada has given it very easily. So at least those who are of intellectual propensity, they should try to understand this. Krishna says that who study in relation to Gita, Krishna says, who studies this Gita worships me by his intelligence. So those who have, actually those who are more educated, they have more doubts, generally. So you can clear them out by studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Ability to understand comes by serving Krishna and by chanting Hare Krishna, not simply from some intellectual basis. And for those who can't study Bhagavatam, they may be illiterate, they can chant Hare Krishna and perform devotional service under the guidance of those who are studying Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way they can make their life perfect. Just a few days ago in Gujarat, one lady came to me. She was asking for initiation. So usually we're supposed to give some test to those who want to take initiation, just to see that they understand the philosophy. But she's illiterate, what's she going to understand? So I asked her that, who is Bhagavan? Bhagavan kaun hai? Krishna, she said with full conviction. So she's already, she may not understand what are the different energies of Krishna and so many different things as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm firmly convinced, Krishna. So she's more intellectual than so many big intellectuals, in the sense that she's understood who is God, Krishna, firmly convinced. So she is Mahabhaga, she's very fortunate. Whereas actually this modern education makes us very unfortunate and simply confuses us in so many ways. It gives us a completely wrong outlook on life. Prabhupada said schools are like slaughterhouses. They destroy the spiritual propensities of the human being. Generally you see young children, you can very easily get them to chant Hare Krishna. And then the older they get, the more, we see in preaching in schools, you go to school, they're 9 years old, even then you get some rascals at 9, they ask some rascal questions. Then as they get older, and it becomes more difficult, they become more spoiled. You were telling me yesterday that people come first year, they're quite innocent, but by the time they reach the second year, they're quite spoiled. Had bad association. So this modern education, actually, it's very atheistic and demoniac. So, time is up. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.